Vasudevaya. Instructs his messengers. Yam vaina bo bir manasa shubirva.
Yam vaina bo bir manasa shubirva.
Riddha gira va subrito vichakshate. Atma namantar hridishantam atmanam. Chakshur yataiva kritayas tata param.
Chakshur yataiva kritayas tata param.
Amvayana govir manusha manasha shubhirva.
Amvayana govir manusha shubhirva.
Ritta girava subrito vichakshate.
Ritta girava subrito vichakshate.
Atma namantar ridishantam atmanam. Yataiva kritayastata param. Yam
Bhum
Bhai indeed Na not Govi by the senses Manasa by the mind Ashubi by the life breath Ba or Ritta by thoughts, Gira by words, Va or Shubrita, the living entities, Vichakshate, see or know, Atmanam, the supersoul, Antaridi, within the core of the heart, Santam, existing, Atmanam, the living entities, Chakshu, the eyes, Jitha, just like, Eva, indeed, Akiteya, the different parts or limbs of the body, Tata, than them, Param, higher. Translation. As the different limbs of the body cannot see the eyes, the living entities cannot see the Supreme Lord, who is situated as the Supersoul in everyone's heart, not by the senses, by the mind, by the life air, by thoughts within the heart, or by vibration of words, can the living entities ascertain the real situation of the Lord. Please repeat, as the different limbs of the body cannot see the eyes, the living entities cannot see the Supreme Lord, who is situated as the Supersoul in everyone's heart. Not by the senses, by the mind, by the life air, by thoughts within the heart, or by the vibration of words, can the living entities ascertain the real situation of the Supreme Lord. Although the different parts of the body do not have the power to see the eyes direct the movements of the body's different parts. The legs move forward because the eyes see what is in front of them, and the hand touches because the eyes see touchable entities. Similarly, every living being acts according to the direction of the Supersoul, who is situated within the heart. As the Lord Himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matasmritir gyanam apohanam cha. I am sitting in everyone's heart and giving direction for remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Ishvara sarvabhutanam riddeshi arjunitishtati. The Supreme Lord, as the Supersoul, is situated within the heart. The living entity cannot do anything without the sanction of the Supersoul. The Supersoul is acting at every moment. But the living entity cannot understand the form and activities of the Supersoul by manipulating his senses. The example of the eyes and the bodily limbs is very appropriate. If the limbs could see, they could walk forward without the help of the eyes. But that is impossible. Although one cannot see the Supersoul in one's heart through sensual activities, his direction is necessary. Om Gyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaya Shri Guruve Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram Ram Ram, Ram Hare 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 Krishna, nice to be in Villa Vrindavan once again. In the presence of the lordships. This whole section of Srimad Bhagavatam is generally referred to as the Ajamil Kanda, or that portion of Bhagavatam which narrates the glories of Lord Krishna's holy name and the benefits that living entities derive, and especially that Ajamil, whose story is already there in the first chapter of this text, is glorified. And it's a oft repeated pastime. It's found in other Vedic literatures. Does this light bother your eyes? I couldn't tell whether it was your effulgence yesterday or the light. And narrated in other scriptures as well, as is the case often with different pastimes of the Lord, incarnations of the Lord, or important histories, such as next canto is dedicated mostly to Lord Nrisimhadev's appearance and his exchange with Prahlad Maharaj. Of course, that's there in the Nrisimha Purana, in many other Puranas, that same pastime is told, although sometimes it's told a little differently. And there are certain details of this pastime which are recounted also elsewhere. One minor detail, but very interesting detail, is how Jamil came to name his young son Narayan. And just briefly, the story is that Ajamil, sometimes Prabhupada calls him a Vaishnava, he's certainly a Brahmin, but in any case he accrued pious credits and he accrued devotional credits by his earlier engagements up until that time that he went off with this prostitute and really lived quite a degraded life because he's hitting his 80s when he has his last son. So he's busy in all kinds of things and even at such a advanced age he's still absorbed in sense gratification. How will he get the fruit of those devotional activities that he performed earlier? After all, Krishna says, Svapam Abhyasa Dharma Sivatrayati Mahatobaya, that a little devotional activity that will then actually save someone. So how will Ajamil become saved from his sinful activities, and yet at the same time, how will he receive the benefit of that which he'd done earlier? So, to make the story short, I don't know if it's a long story, but anyway, it's a story. And that is that one sage, and it may be Loma Sharishi, I can't remember exactly who, but the Lord inspires him that as this child is born, then he goes there to Ajamil's home, and Ajamil is pious enough, religious enough, or at least superstitious enough that if a saintly person comes to my home, then I should ask for some blessings. So the blessings he asks, could you please give a name to my child? So I don't know, we don't have record of what the other children's names are, but this one's name is Narayan. And so that sage says, you call him Narayan, which then means that Ajamil again starts to repeat the holy name of the Lord, not for any real devotional purpose, but certainly he's doing it in a sense without offense. He's calling his son's name in affection, so he's affectionately repeating the name of Lord Narayan. And at least this detail is interesting in the sense that this shows that even though sometimes a devotee or a person may be forgetful of Krishna, but Krishna doesn't forget. And even if Krishna is looking, and sometimes Krishna is looking for an excuse to actually deliver a devotee, so he takes advantage of whatever little opportunity is there. In any case, the pastime unfolds, and in this chapter, of course, the Yamadutas, they're returning back to Yamaraj, frustrated in their attempts to have taken Ajamil. The Vishnudutas appear by the chanting of Narayan, Narayan's name. It was in Vrindavan when Prabhupada was giving lecture in 76 or 77. And well, at that time, I think it may have been in the Bhagavatam that he calls out his name three times. And Prabhupada says, no, that's not correct. He only calls it once. Do you remember? I remember it was in Vrindavan, Prabhupada. So anyway, he just calls out the name of his son, and the Vishnudutas appear. And so the Vishnudutas have overwhelming spiritual power, but obviously they have not only just spiritual power, they also have material power that the Yamadutas can't override. And so they leave. And when they come back, then they're not ordinary living entities, so they come to a certain conclusion. Now, their conclusion is that we're the servants of Yamaraj, and we've just been overpowered by the servants of someone else. Therefore, that someone else must be superior to Yamaraj, which is an interesting concept. It means that the servant of a master is as powerful as the master is. If the master is greater, then the servant is greater. If the master is lesser, the servant is lesser, at least in this situation. So up until now, and that's how the chapter begins, we thought you were the supreme person. For how long this took place, there's no indication, but it's been going on for quite a while because the material world has been in existence for quite a long time. Or at least these particular Yamadutas hadn't been on the job for ever. Certainly they have the misconception that Yamaraj is the supreme person within the universe. And all of a sudden they realize, well, he can't be, there must be someone else who's superior to him, who sent these other Vishnudutas. And so they inquire. And then, as Maharaj was reading yesterday, and in the verse previous to that, Yamaraj immediately replies, yes, you're mistaken, I'm not the Supreme. Why did it take such a long time for the Yamadutas to know? Why didn't they get instructed right in the very beginning? Now, obviously, one reason is that they didn't have the qualification. Yamaraj didn't feel like they had the qualification. They wouldn't have really understood what it means to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the reasons that he continues on here, because Yamaraj they saw, but the Supreme One didn't see. So these are, like we often hear people that we meet, people say, well, show me God and then I'll believe in him. So Yamadutas are also in that similar category. They believe what they see. They saw Yamaraj. They saw Yamaraj's extraordinary power. He's aware of all the movements of living entities. He judges them. He punishes them. Very, very powerful person. So they see him. They believe. But here's someone, and now this is what these verses are about, and this verse is about, is there someone else who's more powerful? Yes, as Yamaraj says, you're mistaken, there's someone else who's more powerful, but you can't see him. But now they'll believe. But what is it that gave them the qualification to believe? They saw the Vishnu Buddhas. By the association of those Vaishnavas, although those Vishnu Buddhas, or at least Yamaraj, is no less than those Vishnu Buddhas, he's also a great personality. But familiarity breeds contempt. This Vaishnava's association that really didn't quite click the connection because the Yamadutas themselves weren't so open to Yamaraj's association. But the Vishnudutas came and they saw, here's, they're so radiant, they're so beautiful, they're so powerful, their voices are very resonant and have this effect, and they came to save this sinful person. And they also tested us on what are the principles of Dharma. And they exposed us for not actually being fully conversant as to what Dharma is really all about. So by that type of association, then they came back and Yamaraj could discern, because Yamaraj knows what the condition of living entities' hearts are, so he could discern. Now they'll understand, or at least now they have sufficient faith that there is something more than what they see. And so he can start talking about, yes, although neither I nor all of these eight great demigods who are situated in mode of goodness, what to speak of those who are in passion of ignorance, can actually see or understand this Supreme Person. He begins by elaborating, or at least laying this groundwork, that yes, there is a Supreme, and of course immediately everyone wants to see him or feel him, or how is it that I'm going to find out about the Supreme Person? Well, he's beyond. He's at Hoksuja. He's beyond the realm of your senses, of your mind, of your intellect. But indirectly, by the process of deduction, they came to the conclusion that yes, he must exist. And he does exist. And Yamaraj then goes on to elaborate on this principle in this verse. Just like, how does it that the senses of this body function without without themselves individually seeing, because they're guided by the eyes. So as the senses don't see the eyes, similarly living entities don't see the Supreme Lord. And yet, neither the senses nor the living entities can function without the direction of the Lord. So this belief or understanding that there's something which goes beyond that which we can actually perceive. In one sense, it's there, it's inherent. Every living entity, even materialistic people, accept that there are things that they don't see, or things aren't as they seem.